Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the what? The American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 2nd, 2016. In turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now, please, before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Remember, folks, we also have email. This is a wonderful day and age. You can send me your phone number by email because I have the computer on most all the time when I'm not at the mission church except for when I'm sleeping because I work most all the time in one form or another. And so the computer's on because we like to keep you informed in case the world's blowing up, so to speak. So you check it out at prophecyhour.com, and you get the email address. And so you send me your prayer request. We'll print it out. We'll take it to the mission church. We'll anoint it with oil, pray over it, and we'll even mail it back to you if you include an address to mail it back to you at. And we will charge you nothing, nor will we solicit you for anything. Anyway, the phone number here, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And, you know, please don't give that number out to the things. I don't know who's responsible or how it comes about. But my cell phone is finally getting those bogus calls, you know, for businesses and all that spam, I guess, phone spam. That's what it is. So I get a lot of it. Anyway, so you can always find updates of the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is all at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. Remember, we're a national satellite program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. So pray about supporting airtime. Airtime costs, it's not free. And remember, Messiah's Branch sells nothing. We just rely on the Father to put it on your heart to donate to us so that we can stay on the air. Okay. Remember, our program archives can be found at messiahsbranch.com. Not Messiah's Branch. Sorry, prophecyhour.com. My mind is that yesterday our programs were picked up by Google Play, I was told, from an RS feed or something. So I guess you can hear our radio programs on Google Play. I guess it is Google Play. I'm not quite sure how to get to it, but it's called Google Play Music. That's what it is. Anyway, on another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Stockholm, Sweden, Helsinki, Finland, Dublin, Ireland, Athens, Greece, Saudi Arabia, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Rosario, Argentina, Seattle, Washington, Washington, D.C., Tulsa, Oklahoma, Houston, Texas, San Diego, California, Santa Ana, California, and Boston, Massachusetts, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, that is, when they hit the podcast later tonight. And we'll be changing that list of people next week. I just didn't get around to it today, so excuse me for that. Now a prayer will bring on tonight's guest, which has been on with us before. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray for you tonight goes according to your will and not mine. Because, Father, I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to do radio. I can do nothing without you. So, Father, I turn things over to you in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Bless the people so they can hear the truth in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. We're all tonight's guests have been on with us before, talking about many different things, including places of refuge. And, yes, I'm talking about Michael T. Snyder. He has a blog called The Economic Collapse Blog, and the most, well, I think the other one's the most important thing. Well, he can correct me when he comes on. He's also the author of the book, Beginning of the End. He has become very popular on other prophecy-related radio and TV programs and has now started his own video program called The Watch with his very beautiful wife, Miranda. And I will say, you know, it seems like about a year ago, I mean, Michael had been around with the Economic Collapse Blog for a little while, but when the father decided to get a hold of him, he is now becoming extremely, well, I hate to say popular, but he is being used all across the internet, whether it's on the web, or, you know, on the web and on TV programs. So really pay attention to what he says. But tonight I brought him back on to talk about his book, The Rapture. And let's talk to Michael, because I know you all don't want to listen to me. Welcome, Michael.
Hello, Pastor Dan. Thank you for having me on the program again today. It's great to be with you again.
Well, I appreciate you coming back. I mean, you know, you're a pretty famous guy right now, aren't you?
Well, you know what? In these last days, God's just raising up, you know, average people like me, you know, people like you who come from just different backgrounds. We, you know, maybe didn't go to seminary. We weren't, trained through the system. But he's just taking average people. You know, me, I was just an attorney working in Washington, D.C. You know, you've got a real unique background. But he's just taking people from different walks of life. He's raising up an army in these last days. And, you know, yeah, God has been opening up some incredible doors for me, but I could never do it by myself. All the glory has to go to him. And it's, you know, and he's given me a forum to get this message out that I'm proclaiming because, you know, things are coming on this earth and people need to be aware of what's happening.
Yeah, amen. A big thing that I see probably about you that I feel it is for sure with myself, but we can even point back to the apostles. You know, they weren't churched people. You know, Yeshua, when he got the people to take the message to the world, the wonderful message, of course, the gospel, he used people that weren't, you know, in the church, so to speak, if you will. So, amen. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But look, before we go any further, I got to tell the people about your program. I stumbled across it. I don't know how many times I've been to your site, and I looked over there, and I seen this thing over there. And I seen your wife's smiling face, and I seen you, and I said, what's that? And it says, the watch. And I pressed it, and you've got a TV program. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're very excited about this. It had been in our heart to do something with video for a while because we want to get the warning message, the message God has put in our hearts out in so many different ways, whether it's through our websites, my books, you know, these different ways. And we wanted to do something with video, but we had kind of been putting it off for a while. But then a few months ago, Jim Baker actually approached us and said, hey, you've got a very important message. I'd like to have you on our network, the PTL Television Network. And so we thought, well, yeah, that's a real great honor. Let us do that. So at the time, we didn't have any video equipment. We didn't know anything about video editing software, all that. So we had to learn from scratch, basically. It's been a huge learning curve. But so now we've got this new half-an-hour show that we're creating. And, yeah, it's on the PTL Television Network, which you can get through Roku and other places. But we're also putting it on YouTube for free so people all over the world can see it. And so, me, you know, people have gotten to know me through the websites and through the radio programs and through everything else. But now people are going to get a chance to get to know my wife, Miranda, because we're doing the program together. And so I hope people will check it out. It's called The Watch, and it's available for free on YouTube.
Well, amen. And I really enjoyed the program. But I've got to make a comment, naturally. I guess I get to do that because I'm the guy, you know what I mean? But anyway, I really have to comment about your wife. And I sent you an email about this, but I'm going to say it on the air. I noticed the picture that you used for the watch, and your wife's looking at you. And she's looking at you in this look of just total love and compassion towards you, and that she's pleased with you. And that says a lot about you. Do you see somebody to have that kind of a deep love for you says a lot about you and says a lot about your relationship. Because believe me, the Father wouldn't be putting his hand on you because, you know, man and woman become as one. and that's your other half. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing, and I just pray the Father really blesses your program, Michael.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm truly blessed with a wife that's much greater than I ever deserved. And she's, you know, she's really my partner in every way. Like me, she's also zealous for Torah. She loves to keep the Sabbath and the festivals, and we pray together every day, and we move in the things of the Holy Spirit together. And we're really ministry partners trying to get this message out. So it's such a blessing to have a godly wife who's walking with me every step of the way. And so I'm excited that people are going to start to get to know her now through this program, because people have gotten to know me, but now they're going to get to know her.
Yeah, amen. Well, you know, and we'll get on to your book in a minute, but I just have to say that, you know, there's so many people that are unequally yoked. I myself, you know, I used to be in the outlaw world and everything, and my wife, you know, came out of that world with me. We came out and we progressed and grew together, you know. And so without having her, I don't see that what I'm doing, you know, was possible. The Father made it possible by giving me the right mate. And that counts so much. And I just want to point people to that article that you wrote on. We don't have to get into depth in it or anything, but you wrote an article, something about like that. Tell them where it's at. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll click it over in just a second. I'll tell you the name of it. You're, it's supposed to be right there. On the man and the woman, you know what I'm saying? It's,
Well, I just put up an article entitled Eight Reasons Why It Is So Hard to Find Someone Decent to Marry, you know, on today.
And yeah, Eight Reasons Why It's So Hard to Find Someone Decent to Marry. A really good article, folks, and you go to the Economic Collapse blog and, read it. I clicked over. I don't know why I didn't see it at first, but yes, it's there. And I really strongly suggest people to go over there and read all your articles, especially this one. But I want to get on with some other things, and I just wanted to point that out, if you don't mind.
Oh, of course. And you know, people that are single out there, it can be so tempting to just settle for someone who's not godly, because it is so hard to find a good mate, a good husband or wife these days. But I would encourage people who are believers, who are single, who are looking, you know, just to pray, to seek God. Because personally, I didn't get married till I was 35, but then God brought someone really, really special into my life. And sometimes when God has something really special in mind for us, he makes us wait just a little bit longer, you know, like he did with Abraham with the birth of Isaac, and is just one example. So don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Just keep seeking God, and God will bring a wonderful a believing husband or wife into your life when the time is right.
Yeah, amen. In fact, you know, I've been with my wife, we have our 31st anniversary this year, and so amen, you know, I'm 60 years old, so she came into my life when I was 30. Okay, amen. Anyway, moving right along, what about this article? Is this really, I know this is important, so I want you to tell the people how and why we should watch this, and then I want to get into the book, The Rapture Verdict, and spend the rest of the program on that. Turkish military forces have entered Syria. Why is that important?
Well, it's exceedingly important because, you know, right now, of course, there's been this civil war in Syria that's been going on for 5 years. And it was actually started, you know, if you go back 5 years ago, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, she was Secretary of State at that time, they, you know, of course, the Arab Spring was raging, and she got together with Turkey and Saudi Arabia, and she said, you know, hey, this Arab Spring is going on, it's a great opportunity, let's try to overthrow President Assad in Syria, get Syria, remove Syria from the Iranian axis of power, out of the Shia axis of power, and bring it into the Sunni axis of power, because about 70% of all Syrians are Sunni anyway. So they said they organized these protests, and then they became violent, and then they armed the rebels, and this huge civil war broke out, which has, you know, gone on for 5 years, resulted in all these refugees going all over the world, including the United States. But, you know, then, of course, what happened is the Syrian government called in. They said, hey, they asked for help from the Russians, the Iranians, from Hezbollah. And so the tide of the war has turned, and the militants that were being backed by Turkey and Saudi Arabia and the U.S. government started losing. And so Turkey and Saudi Arabia have been very, very upset about this. And so, you know, and then there was, you know, the ceasefire and things looked like they'd settled down for a little bit. But now things are heating up again. In fact, it's being reported in the international media by Russian media, by Iranian media, that Turkish military forces have now crossed the border between Turkey and Syria, and they've established positions near the town of Afrin and then near the town of Azaz. And Azaz in particular is very, very important because that the road that goes through Azaz is the key corridor that has been supplying militants in Aleppo with weapons, with arms, with food, with the things that they need to continue the fight. And of course, Aleppo at one time was the, you know, one of the biggest cities in Syria, their most important economic city there in northern Syria. But you know, there's been a huge struggle, and right now there's a struggle for Aleppo and the jihadists that are fighting against the Syrian government. They're in danger of losing the battle, so Turkey is very distressed about that. So they want to keep that corridor, the Azaz corridor, open so they can keep supplying militants in Aleppo. But basically, now that Turkish military forces have come over without permission, of course, of the Syrian government, they basically invaded Syria. Now, they haven't gone that far yet. Just a couple northern towns are setting up positions. But this is a major, major escalation in the conflict where now, you know, up until now, Turkey had been supplying and supporting forces there fighting in Syria, including ISIS, where ISIS fighters, if they get injured, they go back over into Turkey. They're treated at Turkish hospitals. They get food. They get supplies. And, of course, ISIS has sold hundreds of millions of dollars of stolen oil through Turkey. You know, so ISIS and Turkey have been working very, very close with one another. But, you know, of course, now ISIS and the other militant groups are having troubles. They're being pushed back. So now Turkey is stepping in. The Turkish military has come in, and they've set up these positions in northern Syria, essentially declaring a state of open warfare on Syria. Now, what's going to happen? Are they going to try to go farther? Are they going to push, you know, now that they've kind of dipped their toe in the water, are they going to move forward? And what will the Russians do? What will the Iranians do? Will the Russians, you know, bomb those positions? Will they attack those positions? Will they leave them alone? We don't know, but, you know, we talked on a previous program, Pastor Dan, about how the situation in Syria could potentially be a spark that sets off World War III, right. And that remains true today. And so we'll keep a close eye on this. But for the first time, I mean, previously, Turkey had shelled positions in northern Syria, particularly Kurdish positions, and they had, you know, attacked positions with aircraft. But now they have, according to the Russian news sources and Iranian news sources, sources in the international media, Turkish forces have actually crossed the border and right. taken positions in northern Syria. So this is very, very serious. But so far, we've heard basically nothing about this in the Western media.
Right. You know, I don't think much about the Western media now at all. In fact, most stories that I go to check out, I look at the media from around the world, you know. But this Ed Rogan character, the guy that's in the head of Turkey, he's quite some kind of character, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, you know, here in the United States, we're trained to think of Turkey as our friend, but this president over there in Turkey, President Erdogan, I believe is how you pronounce it. You know,
Erdogan.
It's kind of a funny I think it's a funny pronunciation. But basically, this guy has essentially become a dictator. He's put people in the media that criticize him in prison. He's really consolidated his power, you know, there in the government. And basically today, you know, of course, radical Islam is fueling much of this, but really, you know, this president, President Erdogan, it kind of has dreams of recreating the old Ottoman Empire. You know, the Ottoman Empire used to control much of the Middle East, including the land of Israel. And, you know, and he, this guy, this President of Turkey dreams of recreating that empire. And so, you know, these days political rallies there in Turkey are very reminiscent of what Nazi rallies looked like in the 1930s under Adolf Hitler. Just extreme nationalism, extreme pride in Turkey, and extreme pride in the destiny of their nation or what they're supposed to do. And of course, you know, Islam is playing a big role in this. But and now so we're seeing Turkey start to become much more aggressive. They've already got troops in northern Iraq. The Russians, in fact, the other day were, you know, used some very angry language about that, that they're saying that Turkey needs to get their troops out of northern Iraq. Now they've moved troops into northern Syria. So Turkey is starting to become aggressive, move their military forces into other nations, just like the Nazis did in the 1930s. But now, you know, we're seeing a similar pattern here with Turkey. But, you know, that, you know, we're here in the United States, we're told, oh, Turkey is our friend, they're our ally, they're part of the NATO alliance. But really, this is a very dangerous nation that's moving very much toward radical Islam. And the kind of behaviors that we're seeing in there are very reminiscent of what we saw in the 1930s under Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, absolutely. Joel Richardson does a lot of reporting on it. In fact, he points to the old Ottoman Empire as being actually the kingdom of, will come back and be, you know, the Antichrist, if I've got it down right. And so, you know, it is something to completely watch. And by the way, folks, Joel Richardson is going to be on with us next week. He's got a new DVD out, and we'll talk about that. But we don't want to take up Michael's time. Well, we only got, we can, let's talk about, let's just say why the name Rapture Verdict, because we only got about 2 minutes before break. So why the name Rapture Verdict for your new book? Verdict.
Originally, Pastor Dan, I was going to call it the Rapture Debate because, you know, people have their different positions and there's this great debate out there, been a debate for years. But as I was writing the book, I thought the Lord wanted me to name it the Rapture Verdict because, as we'll talk about after the break, the evidence from the scriptures is actually exceedingly, exceedingly clear. You know, what, and, you know, and about one out of every 25 verses in the New Testament has to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. God wanted us to understand these things. And when you look at these things, particularly in the original languages, it's exceedingly clear what God is telling us about the in terms of the timing of the return of Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to Him. But today there's so much confusion out there, and so and it always frustrated me because, you know, people know, hey, they know that there's not going to be this pre-tribulation rapture, a lot of people, and yet there were, I couldn't think of a single resource or book or DVD that really knocked it out of the park in terms of explaining to people what was really going to happen. Instead, you know, you've kind of got this end times industry, and they're made millions and millions of dollars on books and DVDs and everything else, but it's all saying there's going to be this pre-tribulation rapture. Well, I want to set the record.
Let's hold it right there. We're going to go to a break in a minute. So in the meantime, before we go to break, tell them where they can find a book, where they can find, tell them your website, okay?
Yeah, the primary website I'm known for is the economiccollapseblog.com, or if you just go to Google and type in the economic collapse, it's the first result that comes up. My other primary website is endoftheamericandream.com, and on either site, if you go, there's huge banners on the side for the book, The Rapture Verdict. If you click on the banner, it'll take you right to Amazon.com, where you can get the book in paperback and in Kindle format.
All right. Well, folks, that's the other website we were trying to remember, The End of the American Dream, and we'll be back with talking about The Rapture Verdict in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray tonight for a donation work, for a work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And, you know, I could go through the standard thing and read it to you, and but I just want to say this. You know, we're now in, we started in June, our 17th year of the Wichita Mission Church, and it's been a real thing of faith. You know, we help people from all walks of life. I say homeless and poor, but, you know, we have people that listen to us on the radio and things, and they'll drop in once in a while and ask for prayers. And, you know, we help a lot of people. I can't tell you everything that we do because the list just goes on. I could be sitting here all night, and I don't like to ring my own bell. But, you know, like one of the prayers that we're really trying to get answered today, I know the Father's hand's in it. I've been talking to you about the little girl that went to the hospital and ended up having some kind of a reaction to what a treatment they gave her, and she ended up being paralyzed from the waist down. And so she went to another doctor because people want an update. She went to another doctor, and the other doctor said, yeah, that they've heard of it before and that she needs to sue them, but they need her to go to a place in Kansas City. Well, the still thing roadblock that stops her is, well, we found somebody to pay her first and last month's rent. Is just finding a house for her to rent because she gets rejected because she's had poor credit and all that. And so finding somebody to accept her has been really tough. The longer that she takes, with this problem, the worse it could get, you know, and it could even spread. So pray for her. I do really ask for you to pray for her and lift her up in prayer. But this is what we do. Not only do we give things to people, but we also, we also do counseling, you know, and prayers. And it isn't just about food and clothing and first aid, but it's about things like that, ministering to people like that. And so pray for us. You know, we need your support to keep home going. You know, we have no set guidelines. We don't have any programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That is the rule. And if we don't have what they need, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell all their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. And folks, over the years, we've been able to help thousands upon thousands of people by your help. Then that's whether or not it was prayers, the Gospels, Bibles, glasses, first aid, sewing somebody up, over-the-counter medications, shoes on their feet, all of these things, help with children. It's summertime now, and we have so many. We have people bringing children in, and that happens all summer long. And so pray for us, folks, because remember, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You know, and also pray about supporting radio airtime, because if you don't want to help the poor, if you're getting blessed by this program, pray about a donation for this radio program. You can donate online or by mail, a check, or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or you can call me at 620-878-4682. And just one more little point before I bring our guest back on. If you have not listened to the program last week that we did with Philip Haney, who is a founding member of Homeland Security, I really think you should, and get his book. It's called See Something, Say Nothing. This man confirms all the Islamic things that people were saying were conspiracy theories about what Obama was doing to help the Islamists. Well, most of that's true, and this man can testify to that. Anyway, we're now back with Michael Snyder. Still there with me, Mike?
I'm here, Pastor Dan, yes.
Well, amen. We just got started talking about the rapture verdict, and we talked about the title. Verdict, though, you know, that verdict reminds me of you because, you know, you, after all, you know, you were an attorney.
Oh, it's very true. And so that kind of ties in. And that's how I kind of examined this issue, kind of as a lawyer would, because, you know, I don't have any denomination telling me what to think. I don't have any, you know, church telling me that I have to push a certain agenda. But I'm just, I was trained as an attorney. And so digging into these scriptures, I look at them as a lawyer would. And I say, okay, what does the evidence really show? And so that's, you know, in my book, if people notice, there's just huge blocks of scripture, because I really try to just lay out the evidence for people to see and not just tell people, you know, what I think, but really you can go off of an evidence-based approach, and people really enjoy that. And the response to the book has been absolutely huge, but it's also turning out to probably be one of the most controversial Christian books of 2016, because people have either responded very, very positively, they absolutely love the book, or very negatively, because, you know, because my book is telling them there's not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. And of course, that belief is held so strongly by so many in the Western world today. If you go back 200 years ago, you know, basically in the British Isles, this new doctrine came about. But for the first 1800 years of church history, pretty much everyone in the church, all Christians, believed, yeah, we're going to go through everything, the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast, and then at the very end, Jesus comes back. But about 200 years ago in the British Isles, this new doctrine came about, and there was this young girl who Margaret MacDonald, she had a vision of this, but then she also had a vision that a certain British politician would be the Antichrist, and that didn't work out very well for her, so she didn't exactly have a good track record. But, you know, the new doctrine came about, it started to spread in the British Isles, eventually came to North America, and it started to spread. And today it's the dominant position in the Western world, and the churches in the Western world, even though nowhere in the Bible does it say there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. You can search cover to cover, and it's just not there. But, of course, most of us were raised believing this. I was. I was raised in a home that believed very strongly in a pre-tribulation rapture. All the churches we ever went to taught this. All the books, the experts, the television shows, the movies, they all told us that there was going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. In fact, you know, this fits in very well with Happy Church, the prosperity gospel that's being taught all over America today, where people are being told, oh, God's going to bless you and bless you and bless you. And then the moment anything really bad starts happening, the moment any of these things in the book of Revelation starts happening, you're going to be pulled out of here. You're not going to have to deal with any of this. And so, you know, it's a kind of message that people like to hear. Unfortunately for them, the Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says that there's not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. And in my book, I very, very clearly show in 37 chapters that Christians, we're going to have to go through all of the tribulation, all the things that it said, talks about in the book of Revelation, and then Jesus is going to come back at the very, very end. But unfortunately, there's not a great understanding of this up to this point in the church in the Western world, but hopefully we can start to change things.
Well, amen. Right after getting the book, you know, I read it, and my plans is I'm going to start passing it out to some different people, because it is, you know, it is a dynamite book. But let's go with this. You know, I liked it that you showed the scriptures that the preacher rapture people try to use, and then, you know, you show them in their entirety, meaning that it seems that preacher rapture people just seem to pick a little bit of, you know, like a sentence or a half a sentence, you know what I mean, and base a whole doctrine on it. What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. So many of the arguments that they use, they'll pick a phrase out of a verse, but they won't even use the whole verse, you know, one verse out of an entire chapter, and ignore the rest of the chapter. When if you put these things back in context, which I did repeatedly in my book, you can see, well, that's not an argument for a pre-tribulation rapture at all. And so, and that is what my book wanted to show, what the Bible really has to say about these things. And why it's important, Pastor Dan, is because in the past you could say, well, you believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and we'll agree to disagree, and it'll all work out in the end. But we're getting to the point where what we believe about these things is really going to matter. For one thing, today, the number one reason why Christians are not getting prepared for the challenging times that are coming, they're not storing up any food, any supplies, any money, they're not doing pretty much anything to prepare because they think, well, before anything really bad happens, I'm going to get pulled out of here. But even worse is the churches in the Western world are not preparing their people to face persecution. They're not being prepared to face the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, to make life or death decisions for Jesus Christ, because they don't think they're going to have to face any of it. And in fact, once the mark of the beast comes eventually, and you know, well, Christians might say, well, this can't be the mark of the beast, because we're supposed to be raptured before the mark of the beast comes. We're supposed to be out of here before this comes, so this can't be the mark of the beast. So I'm going to go ahead and take this so I can buy and sell and feed my family, because this can't be the mark of the beast, so there's going to be a tremendous amount of confusion. But even that's not the worst consequence, Pastor Dan, of this doctrine. To me, the most important thing is, I believe this was prophesied in 2 Peter chapter 3, where the Apostle Peter told us, in the last days, mockers will come. And why are the mockers coming? The mockers are coming and they're going to say, hey, where is this coming that we are promised? And so what we're going to have as we're moving into this time when global events are going to completely spiral out of control, the world's going to go crazy, and unbelievers are going to come to us and they're going to say, you know, we're searching for answers. We don't know what's going on. You know what? All you Christians, you told us that when bad things were going to come, you all were going to be pulled out of here, and we were going to be left behind. They have to go through everything, and you were going to be gone, but you're still here. So they're going to come. They're going to point the finger at us, Pastor Dan, as the church in the Western world, and they're going to say, hey, we don't know what's going on. We don't have the answers, but we know you evangelical Christians sure don't have the answers, because you told us you were going to be gone. You were going to be raptured, and that didn't happen. So they're going to turn away from the gospel by the millions and the millions of believers, because the rapture doctrine is so close to their hearts, so close, so central to what they believe. They're going to say, well, but there wasn't a rapture. It didn't happen. If that was a lie, maybe everything else I was ever told about the Christian faith was a lie too. So they could turn away from the faith by the millions as well. So really, you know, what we're looking at, Pastor Dan, is the fate of millions and potentially even billions of souls hanging in the balance are at stake. And what we're telling them about the rapture, about the last days, about the book of Revelation really matters, because if we tell them the wrong thing and it doesn't happen, we're going to lose all credibility. But if we teach them accurately and tell them the truth, we could be part of the greatest harvest of souls the world has ever seen.
Yeah, amen. Couple of things. Number one, you know, I don't know whether it was the Middle East, but it was one of the persecuted churches that said that they wish the West would leave that doctrine at home, because they have people dying and, you know, they thought we're going to be raptured out, so to speak. But having said that, you know, people aren't snapping to that, in the West at least, that prophecy is happening in front of their eyes. Because of this reason, they see all these people being slaughtered and beheaded and all that, and they say, well, that can't be prophecy, because if that was the book of Revelation, we would have already been gone out of here, so that we must not be where everybody's saying, where these people are saying that we're at, which is really pretty horrific. Let's go with this. You know, people are going to say, or they probably have said to you, Michael, well, the Bible says he's going to come as a thief in the night. They have that misunderstood, how so?
Oh, very, very, very much. You know, in fact, that scripture where it says thief in the night, immediately afterwards, you know, it's in 1 Thessalonians, you know, it talks about how that the day of the Lord is described as a thief in the night. But immediately after that, the Apostle Paul says, but you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. And so what he's basically saying there is, hey, yeah, it's going to come as a thief in the night for unbelievers, but believers, this day shouldn't overtake you as a thief, because you're in the light. You know what's going on. You should be able to understand these times and seasons in advance. So, yeah, and I go over this extensively in my book, Pastor Dan, and like I said, I got 37 chapters, but if I could, I would like to share just a couple nuggets for people so they can kind of understand the approach of where I'm coming from. Would that be okay if I just share a couple nuggets from the book real quick?
Yeah, amen. I was wondering when you were going to get to that.
Back to you. Okay. Well, you know, I thought I was just about done with my research for the book. I thought I had a pretty good book, but then, you know, God has a way of humbling all of us, and he came and he impressed on me very, very strongly that there's something that I needed to look at, and it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I thought, well, what in the world could I possibly need to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because I already had so much about it in the book. And so I immediately went, of course, to that famous passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 51, where it says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Remember that, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. For this corruptible will put on incorruption, this mortal will put on immortality. And so that's that famous scripture about the rapture, one of the most famous scriptures about the rapture. And I thought, well, is that what the Lord was trying to show me? And I'd already written about that. And I was like, but it was no, that's not what I was supposed to see. So I thought, well, what am I supposed to see? And so I started looking at the rest of the chapter. And the rest of the chapter, of course, is all about the resurrection of believers, the rapture, because that's the same thing. The rapture is when the resurrection of believers takes place. They're the exact same thing. Of course, those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture don't like to admit that or talk about that because it opens up all kind of cans of worms. But so I got down and I started reading in verse 20. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Now that word coming there is the Greek word parousia, which is often translated as coming in your Bible. It can also be translated arrival or presence, or sometimes in the ancient Greek world as official visit. For example, when the Pope came to the United States last year, that would have been considered a parousia or an official visit. Someone very, very important was coming, and they were doing so in an official capacity. That's kind of the flavor of the word. But basically, that passage in 1 Corinthians 15 told us that the rapture, the resurrection of believers, happens at the parousia. And so I thought, wow, that's very interesting, because that scripture tells us exactly when the rapture's going to be. It's going to be at the parousia, the official visit of Jesus Christ. And so I thought, that's interesting. So let me see if there's anywhere else in the scripture where that word is used. And I found that it's also used in probably the most famous rapture passage of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says, starting in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and arose again, so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming parousia of the Lord will not precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet, there's that trumpet again, call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So once again, the most famous rapture passage in the entire Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, once again we see the timing of the rapture linked to the parousia, the coming, the official visit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I thought, wow, that's interesting, because now we've got a pattern emerging here where we're being told multiple times that in Scripture that the rapture happens at the parousia. And we see this again, the exact same author, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, where it says, now, brothers, concerning the coming parousia, there's that same Greek word again, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and concerning our gathering together unto him, the rapture, we ask you not to let your mind be quickly shaken or be troubled, neither in spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, coming as though from us, as if the day of Christ is already here. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way. Christians all over the rest of the world need to read that. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless a falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of destruction, the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called their God or his worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself as God. So in that passage, we're told once again, the rapture comes at the parousia, and we're told of three specific things that must come first. Number one, a great falling away. Number two, the revealing of the Antichrist. He comes on the scene. And number three, the Antichrist goes into the temple of God and basically setting himself up as God, the abomination of desolation talked about in other places of Scripture. All those things got to come first. And so I thought, wow, that's very interesting. But then that's not all. That word, Greek word, is used again in verse 8, where it says, then the lawless one will be revealed, the Antichrist, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his presence. That word presence there is, once again, the Greek word parousia. So 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8 tells us that the final confrontation between Jesus and the Antichrist, when Jesus will defeat the Antichrist, comes, and that's also at the parousia. Now, when does that happen? Is that before the tribulation? Is that in the middle of the tribulation? No. That comes at the very end of the tribulation. Anyone that knows their Bibles knows that comes at the end of the book of Revelation. And the Apostle Paul says that happens at the parousia, the same period of time when the rapture will take place. And then the Lord Jesus himself talked about the parousia. A lot of people don't realize this. In Matthew chapter 24, where that famous chapter, where in verse 3, the disciples come to Jesus on the Mount of Olives, and they ask Jesus, and they say to him, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, there's that Greek word parousia again, and of the end of the age. So the disciples, the apostles, wanted to know when the parousia was going to be. And so through the rest of the chapter, Jesus talks about nation rising against nation, and famines, and earthquakes. Then he talks about the abomination of desolation. And when you see that, those in Judea flee to the wilderness, where there will be a place of protection for 3.5 years. And then he gets to verse 27, finally, and he addresses the timing of the parousia. He says, Jesus says, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming parousia of the Son of Man. And then in verse 29, he describes the rapture, where he says, immediately after the tribulation, those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture need to read that about 1,000 times, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, there's that trumpet again, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So all throughout Scripture, Pastor Dan, if I could just summarize, we are told the rapture is at the parousia, and the parousia comes immediately after the tribulation.
Amen. Okay, we only got a couple minutes, but let me say this. So parousia means, well, you said official visit, right? Right. Okay, so official visit could also be a point in time, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And that opens up something for what else that you put in your book. You know, folks, there's a lot of you out there are wondering, have been wondering on my radio program, because we bring up the feast. This book will show you when the appointed times, how they work, well, rather the feast, how they work in all this. You got about a minute and a half if you want to kind of comment.
Yeah, in my book I show how as the spring festivals were fulfilled literally to the day by the first coming of Jesus Christ, the fall festivals will be fulfilled literally to the day by the second coming of Jesus Christ. So I encourage everyone to go check out the book. It's on Amazon.com. You can get it in paperback. You can get it in Kindle format. And then if you read it and you have any questions, please contact me, because it's very important for all of us to wake up and start understanding these things.
Well, amen. And it is wonderful. I was really happy that you put that in the book, and you really did well with the book, because, you know, while you said you put a lot of scripture in the book, you didn't overburden a lot of people with, there's a lot of other scriptures that talk about, you know, no pre-trib rapture, that talk about post-tribulation, so to speak, in the Bible, but you used the important ones that other people were trying to misuse. And so, folks, it's a real well-rounded book. You're not going to go, okay, I got, because a lot of people don't like to read scriptures, but, you know, it's a well-rounded book, and you're going to find out a lot of things. Well, Michael, thanks for being on. We'll see you on the watch, and probably seems like everywhere nowadays, so tell them whether they can find everything, where your blog's at, and then we'll have to go again.
Yeah, my website I'm primarily known for is the Economic Collapse Blog.com. If you go to Google and type in Economic Collapse the first result that comes up. Or, and I also write on endoftheamericandream.com, and on both websites, if you just scroll down and on the sides of the website, there's huge banners for the Rapture Verdict. Just click on that. It'll take you directly to where you can get the new book. And please help me get this message out about that there's not going to be a pre-tribulation rapture, and that we're going through the tribulation, and the church needs to get ready for what's ahead. Because and that's good news, because it's going to be the greatest hour for the people of God.
Yes, amen. Okay, Mark, thanks for being on with me. I sure appreciate you, and keep up the good work. Be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pastor Dan.
Well, folks, that's Michael Snyder, the Economic Collapse blog. The book is called The Rapture Verdict, and it's really a good book. Tell you about the feast, too. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You know, we're in summer now, and we're in a summer slump. People are off on vacation. We have a drop in the number of people that listen to our program during the summertime, and that leads to less funds, because that's how the Mission Church is funded, by the folks that listen to radio out there. And we've been doing this we're in our 17th year now. But we must remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. If you're not a blessing to others, how can you be saved? How can you have the Holy Spirit within you? Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.